Hello, everyone. You are listening to the holiday edition of the Genealogist Journal podcast, where we take a deep look into the interconnecting roots of history and genealogy. I am your host, historian and genealogist, Jenny Finson. Welcome to the holiday edition of the show. During this time of year, I'd like to take a look at how old folklore traditions affect how we celebrate the holiday season. The stories that we were told by our parents and those we tell to our children are continually evolving, especially here in America. In many ways, the meaning of the holiday season has been hijacked and monstrosized by commercialism. Now, I'm not anti-capitalist, not at all, but we have allowed the season to be Frankensteined by greed. Today, the holiday puts so much pressure on spending exorbitant amounts of money giving the latest trends and gifts that families have lost sight of the true nature of gift-giving and of the season. It is not how much you spend, but the thought and effort behind a gift. Case in point. Last year, I made several simple lap quilts for the family. They were made mostly from scraps of fabric bought over the years. I wanted to give something useful and that contained a bit of me. You know, my work and my thoughts. Do I make gifts every year? No, not at all. But I do try to give thoughtfully. Luckily, the meaning of the holidays is not completely lost. We can find the true essence of the season in our folklore, both old and new. Old stories are important. They teach us life lessons, and they remind us of what is good and what is not. This year, I have chosen the Russian tale of Father Frost. Father Frost, known in Russian as Morozko, or Dead Moroz. For those of you who may not know, Dead Moroz is the Russian version of Saint Nicholas. Early origins of Dead Moroz are pre-Christian, from Slavic folklore. The character that inspired Dead Moroz was the Slavic winter wizard and a blacksmith called Morozko. According to the legend, Morozko was a powerful magician. He was the son of the witch goddess Mara, who was the ruler of the seasons, and Veles, god of death. Morozko was believed to be the winter blacksmith who could chain the water with his iron, aka frost. With this myth, people of the past explained the seasonal changes and the water turning to frost and icicles. It was believed that Morozko was kind to those who were respectful towards him and to the spirits of the land. If humans were lazy and evil, then Morozko might punish them. He would make them freeze, and according to some myths, he could even kidnap children, making them his slaves. Morozko could also be a friend. He favored those who believed to be kind and gentle souls. People made offerings to Morozko, asking him not to freeze all plants and gardens. Some of the food offerings were oatmeal kisel and kutya, porridge made of honey and raisins. Now, you might wonder, what is the connection with this wintered wizard named Morozko and Saint Nicholas? Well, in 980, Grand Prince of Kiev, Vladimir the Great, had consolidated the Rus realm from modern-day Belarus, Russia, and Ukraine to the Baltic Sea. He solidified the frontier borders against the Bulgarians, the Baltic tribes, and the Eastern nomads. According to the Russian Primary Chronicle, Vladimir sent emissaries to study the main religions of the world, including Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, and Christianity. He ultimately chose Eastern Christianity as the official religion of his realm. As with any culture that got Christianized, many of the folklore characters were metamorphosized into Christian acceptable figures. Under the influence of Orthodox traditions, the character of Dead Moroz was transformed. By the end of the 19th century, the character of Dead Moroz had become a kinder and sweeter version of Morozko, the winter wizard, and a very popular character that was an essential part to the Christmas celebrations in countless Slavic countries. Following the Russian Revolution, Christmas traditions were actively discouraged because they were considered to be bourgeois and religious. At the beginning of the Soviet era, communist authorities banned Dead Moroz. Nevertheless, he soon became an important part of the Soviet culture. The literal translation of Dead Moroz is Grandpa Frost. Dead Moroz was depicted as bringing gifts to all well-mannered children, often delivering them in person in December secretly under the New Year tree at night on December 31st. Sounds very much like Santa Claus, but since Christmas was a religious holiday, the Russian people moved their celebrations more towards New Year's Day. So Ded Moroz wears a heeled-length fur coat, a semi-round fur hat, and a vlinky on his feet. He has a long white beard. He walks with a long magic stick and often rides a troika. Troika is a traditional Russian harness-driven combination using three horses across, usually pulling a sleigh. It can be very fast. Ded Moroz is accompanied by Snegorochka, or the Snow Maiden. She is his granddaughter and helper, who wears long silver blue robes and a furry cap or a snowflake-like crown. She is a unique attribute of Ded Moroz, since similar characters in other cultures, such as Santa Claus, do not have a female companion. So now that we have a sense of the origins of Father Frost and the Snow Maiden, it is now time to tell their tale. The following is read from a bilingual children's book called My Grandmother's Tales, Morozko by Svetlana Bagdasaran. It is a modern telling of an old, old story. I have provided an Amazon link to the book in the description of this podcast, in case you wish to purchase a copy of your own. Remember, I'm not being paid to promote this book. I bought this book to help me learn the Russian language. Father Frost. Once there lived an old man and an old woman. The old man had his own daughter, and the old woman had her own. The old woman pampered her daughter, and doted on her, and made the old man's daughter do all the work. She scolded her for everything, abused her, and didn't give her enough food. The girl consented to do all the work, and did all she was ordered to do. She did everything in the best way possible. People would look at her and would praise her greatly. Regarding the old woman's daughter, they would just say, "Here she is, unable to weave or spin. Here she is, so idle and lazy." Because of that, the old woman became even angrier and grumpier. She would hound the old man's daughter relentlessly. She would think of nothing else but how to kill her. One day, the old man went to the downtown, to the market. Meanwhile, the old evil woman colluded with her daughter. "Now, we will get rid of this hateful girl," the old woman called the girl and ordered her, "Go to the forest and bring back some brushwood." "But we have quite enough brushwood already," the girl answered. The old woman started yelling at her and stamping her feet. She ganged up on the girl together with her own daughter and they pushed her out of the house. The girl realized there was nothing she could do, and off she went to the forest. It was freezing cold, and the wind was howling, and there was a heavy snowstorm. The old woman and her daughter were walking about the warm house and said to each other, "That morbid girl will not come back. She will freeze to death in the forest." In the meantime, the girl went to the forest and stopped under a thick fir tree and did not know where to go and what to do. Suddenly, she heard some noise and crackles. It was Father Frost riding through the fir grove, hopping across the birch grove and jumping from one tree to another, crunching and clicking. He went down from the fir tree and said, "How do you do, fairy maiden? Why have you come to my forest in such a severe cold?" Father Frost listened to her and said, "No, fairy maiden, you were not sent here for brushwood." "Well, if you come to my forest, then show me how skillful you are." She was given a spindle and yarn. "Spin threads out of this yarn, weave some cloth, and sew me a shirt out of that cloth." Father Frost said that and left. The girl did not think much and started to work at once. When her fingers would freeze, she would breathe on them to warm them up and then go on. And the whole night went like that. She did not stop working. She thought just one thing, how to make the shirt. In the morning, she heard the noise and the crackling near the fir tree again. Father Frost had come back. He looked at the shirt and exclaimed with a praise, "Well, fairy maiden, you worked well." Here brought Father Frost a forged trunk and put it in front of the girl and said, "To each his own reward." After that, he put on the girl a warm fur coat and tied a patterned kerchief around her head and led her to the road. "Goodbye, fairy maiden. Here you will find good people to help you to get home." He said that and disappeared as if he had never been there. At that time, the old man came back home. "Where is my daughter?" he asked. She went to the forest for brushwood and had not come back. The old man was anxious. He did not start unharnessing the horse and drove to the forest. And as he looked around, he saw his daughter standing near the road, well-dressed and merry. The old man seated her in the sledge, put Father Frost's trunk with the presents in it, and took her home. The old evil woman with her daughter were sitting at the table eating pies and said, "Well, she will not come back home alive. The old man is going to bring just her bones." And the dog was barking near the stove, "Bow wow, bow wow. The old man's daughter is going to bring such rich presents, and no one will marry the old woman's daughter." The old woman would give pies to the dog and would also beat it with a poker. "Shut up, you nasty creature. Just say the old man's daughter will be married and the old man's daughter will never be found." But the dog said, "The old man's daughter will bring presents and the old woman's daughter will not be married." Here the gates squeaked. The door to the house was opened and the girl came in, well-dressed and rosy. And people brought in a large trunk following her, decorated with frost patterns. The old woman and her daughter rushed to the trunk and started taking out the outfits and examining them. They put them on the benches and then asked, "Who gave you such generous presents?" As soon as the old woman learned that it was Father Frost who gave the presents to the girl, she began bustling around the house. She bundled her daughter warmly and gave her some pies and told the old man to take her to the forest. "She is going to bring two such trunks." The old man brought the old woman's daughter to the forest and left her under a high fir tree. She was standing there, looking around, cringing and scolding. "Why, that Father Frost isn't coming for such a long time. Where has this brute disappeared to?" Then she heard some noise and crackling. It was Father Frost riding through the fir grove, hopping across the birch grove and jumping from tree to tree and crunching and clicking. He went down from the fir tree and asked, "Why have you come to me, fairy maiden?" "Don't you know yourself? I have come for the rich presents." Father Frost smiled and said, "Just show me first how skillful you are. Knit me some mittens." He gave her a knitting needle and a ball of yarn and left. The old woman's daughter threw the knitting needles into the snow and pushed the ball of yarn away from her with her leg. Look at what that old one had came up with. It is unheard of to ask someone to knit in such a severe cold. I could get my fingers frostbitten. And in the morning, it started creaking and crunching again. Father Frost had come. "Well, fairy maiden, show me how you have done my work." The old woman's daughter rushed to him. "What work, old fool? Are you blind? Can't you see I am cold to the bones, waiting for you here, half dead?" "Well, to each his own reward," Father Frost smiled. He shook up his beard, and immediately a snowstorm and blizzard began. All pathways and all roads were covered, and Father Frost disappeared as if he had never been there. The old woman's daughter dragged herself along without knowing the road and came to a deep ravine, and there she was covered up with snow. In the morning, the old woman woke up the old man very early and ordered him to go to the forest to bring his daughter back. She herself started to bake pies. The dog was sitting under the bench and barked, "Bow wow, bow wow, the old woman's daughter is not going to come back from the forest." The old woman threw pies to the dog, and she would strike it with a poker painfully. "Shut up, you nasty creature. Eat the pie and never say such things. Better say, the old woman's daughter is going to bring rich gifts, and the old man's daughter will not find a fiancé." The dog would eat a pie and repeat again, "Bow wow, bow wow, the old man's daughter will marry, and the old woman's daughter will not come back from the forest." The old woman was startled. "What if something bad is going to happen with my daughter? What if they lose the rich gifts on the road? I will run following the old man." She put on a fur coat and ran to the forest. The snowstorm was howling and swirling even stronger. The whole road was covered up with snow. The evil woman lost her way and got covered up with snow. The old man was looking for the old woman's daughter for some time and couldn't find her. When he came back home, there was no old woman there. He gathered his neighbors, and they all started looking for the old woman and her daughter. They would look for her for a while. They dug over all snowdrifts, and still they did not find them. The old man stayed with his daughter And when spring came, a fine young man, a blacksmith from the shop, asked her to marry him. They celebrated their merry wedding and lived in love and harmony. The end. Ded Morose, or Father Frost, said the moral of the story best himself, to each his own reward. What you put out into the world and how you treat others determines your reward in this life or the next. However, on this holiday season, remember, material rewards are not the only types of treasure to be had and cherished. Love of family and friends, serenity of mind, peace, and happiness are treasures of their own. This holiday season, I wish you peace and happiness, and in the new year to come. As a quick note, Genealogist Journal will be on vacation for the next 2 weeks as we close out the year. Join us again in January, where we will kick off the second season of Genealogist Journal podcast. Thanks for listening.